Okay, venerable brothers, Dhamma friends, we are going to start the English Dhamma discussion on Thursday. So till Bhante Dhammajiva returns, we are conducting this session on Thursdays. Otherwise, once Bhante returns, this will be shifted to Tuesday. And now we are into the Samyutta Nikaya, connected discourses of the Buddha. Anyway, last few weeks we didn't actually remember to discuss on any other reports what we have received. Niranja, in your side, do you have any reports before we start the session?
That's right, Bhante. Yeah, no reports from this end, Bhante.
Okay, then we are going to start the session, because on last Tuesday also there were two reports in Sinhala. So that's what I just want to, before we step into the discussion, that's what I want to inquire.
Yes, but we have Sinhala reports, but not the English ones.
Okay. Then we'll attend to it some other day. You have something?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. One moment. So we have.
Avsarai Bhante. My question is not directly related to our discussion. But this is a question I asked last time. Mm-hmm. So I found it again somewhere. Can I ask it now?
Sure. Yeah.
So please excuse my pronunciation. This is Dhammapada 170 stanza. Yata bubbulakam passe, yata passe marichikam, evam lokam avekkantam machuraja na passati. Bhante, this is again explained about the passa, and I really don't know, sparsha.
No, it doesn't have. Machurajana passati?
No,
is that the one?
Yata bubbulakam passe.
No, that passe is aiming the looking. Yata bubbulakam passe, that you are, through your wisdom, you are looking at the whole formations as a bubbula. Bubbula means a very fragile air bubble. So passe, the term passati has the verb, as a verb, it's a Pali term for looking something. Say, I'm looking at you, I look at you. So, passati. And oloketi, passati, all these refer that you look at something. But passa is with emphasis on pa. So, that is the passa.
This is
just a pa. This is simple pa. So, it gives a different meaning. So, passati, different meaning. So, there are. So here this verse particularly mean, say you are looking at the whole formations as a bubbula, as a kind of a very fragile water bubbles or air bubbles, and yatha bubbula kang passe, yatha passe marichikam, and the other, the everything like a mirage, marichikam is a mirage, yatha passe marichikam. Evan lokang avekkantam machurajana pasati. So the one who is looking like that about this whole world, the Mara will not conquer. The Mara will not grab him, catch him. And actually this two things, Bubbula and the Marichi, so those are further explained in the sutta called Pena Pindupama Sutta. So they are, all five aggregates are given with five similes. Pena pindupamang rupang, vedana bubbulupama, marichikupama sanya, sankhara kadalupama, mayupamancha vinyana. So the five aggregates were given with these five similes. Pena pindupamang rupang. So the whole rupakhanda, that means the form aggregate, is very much like a form. Form, F-O-A-M, form, where Penapindu, where we see in the bank of a river. So that is the form. Penapindu pamang rupang. Vedana bubbulupama. Vedana, the feelings are like a bubbulupama. Where the bubbula, that means the bubbles which are forming during a rainy time of a reservoir in a river. So those are the bubbula. Those are the air bubbles forming. And very quickly they crash. They quickly pass away. Arising, passing away. So those are the air bubbles. Vedana bubbulukang. Marichi kupama sanya. Marichi. So this here, this marichi. Marichi kupama sanya. The sanya, the perceptions are like a mirage. And sankhara kadalupama. This sankharas, the formations are like a banana trunk, which doesn't have any any kind of a core, any kind of a heartwood, it doesn't have. It's a mere kind of sheath, mere, how to say, if you once you peel it out, nothing is there. It's simply hollow, simply hollow. So, sankhara kadalupama mayupamancha vinyanam. So, the vinyana, the consciousness, is very much like a trick of a magician. So, the same, some two of those similes are included in the Dhammapada verse. So, yathabubbulukam passe, yathapasse marijikam, evang lokam avekkandam machurajana passati. So, if you are looking at the whole aggregates, this whole world like that, we are like a mirage, like a very fragile bubbles, then you are not taking it so permanent, very, you know, solid. You are looking at it as a very fragile thing. So the Mara will not conquer you. So that's the point. So the passa here is the typical normal passa. Yeah, you are fully, you see it, you profoundly, with wisdom, you are looking at the whole world like this, very fragile thing. Then you are not being caught by the Mara. Difference. Two letters, exactly. Exactly. And so then we'll start the session. So we were discussing what we call, we were going one after the other, different suttas available in the Devata Sangyutta or Devaputta Sangyutta, no? Devaputta Sangyutta. And now we are in, we have to start a new vagga called Satullapa Kayika Vagga. Am I correct? Satullapa Kayika Vagga. So there the first term is called Sabbisutta. Satullapa Kayika Vagga Sabbisutta. So, correct? So this actually has many verses. So we'll see whether we can finish it today itself. There are many verses. So I'll read the Pali stanzas, verses, and I'll invite Venerable Dhammalankara to read the single translation and Venerable Dhammosada to read the English translation. Yeah.
Excuse me, Bhante. All these verses, they're all the same.
Very same, no?
Mm. Yeah, only the last line that
last
differs.
Line changed. Yeah. So hopefully we can finish it today itself, even though many verses are there. So let me recite the Pali verse. Evam me sutang ekang samayam bhagava savatyang viharati jetavane anatha pindikassa arame. Atako sambahula satullapa kayika devatayo abhikkhantaya rattiya abhikkhantavanna kevala kappan jetavanam obhasetva yena bhagava teinupa sankaminsu. Upasankamitva bhagavantam abhivadetva ekamantam attansu. So can...
Oh, sorry. Sabhi sutraya. මාවිසින් මෙසේ අසන ලදී එක් කලෙක භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ සවැත් නුවර සමීපෙහි ජේතවන නම් වූ අනේපිඩු සිටුහුගේ ආරම්භි වැඩවසනසේක එකල්හි මනා චවිවර්ණ ඇති බොහෝ වූ සතුල්ලප කායික දේවතාවෝ රැ පෙරයම ඉක්ම ගිය කල්හි මුළු දෙවුරම බබළුවා භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ වෙත එළඹියහ එළඹ භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ වැද එකත් පසෙක සිටියහ Masai Swami Nuhanse, the title of this sutta is With the Good.
With the Good.
Thus have I heard on one occasion the Blessed One was dwelling at Savati in Jeta's Grove, Anathapindika's park. Then when the night had advanced, a number of devatas belonging to the Satullapa host of stunning beauty, illuminating the entire Jeta's Grove, approached the Blessed One. Having approached, they paid homage to the Blessed One and stood to one side. Then one Devata, standing to one side, recited the verse in the presence of the Blessed One.
Okay, this is the kind of a story. So Buddha was living at the Jetavanarama, so it's a very popular place. And one group of deities called who are belonging to a particular group called Satullapa Kayika, and they are with a lot of illuminating, glorious kind of bodies, and they approach the Buddha, they pay respect, and now they are onto a side, and now one deity, one deva, is telling this verse. Eka mantang tithako eka devata bhagavato santike imangathang abhasi sabhireva samaseta sabhi kubbetha santavang satang saddhamma manyaya seyo hoti na papiyoti.
අවසරයි ස්වාමීන් වහන්ස. එකත් පසක සිටි එක් දෙවියෙක් භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේගේ සමීපයෙහි මේ ගාථාව කීයේය. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම එක්වන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම මිත්‍ර සංසත්වය කරන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන්ගේ සද්ධර්මය දැන සිටියහුට අභිවෘද්ධිය වෙයි, පිරිහීමක් නොවේ.
One shall associate only with the good. With the good, one shall foster intimacy. Having learnt the true Dhamma of the good, one becomes better, never worse.
One becomes better, never worse. Okay. We'll go few verses and once we reach some level, we'll start a common discussion. Athako aparadevata bhagavato santike imam gatham abhasin. So one after that particular deity, that particular deva has mentioned this verse, another deva in the same audience, he is asking or giving this comment. Athako aparadevata bhagavato santike imam gatham abhasin. Sabhireva samaseta sabbikubbeta santavam satam saddhama manyaya panya labbati nanyoti nanyatoti nanyatoti.
අවසරයි ස්වාමීන් වහන්ස. ඉක්බිති අන් දෙවියෙක් භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ සමීපෙහි මේ ගාථාව කීය. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම එක්වන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම මිත්‍ර සංසත්වය කරන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන්ගේ සද්ධර්මය දැනීමෙන් ප්‍රඥාව ලැබේ, අනෙකකින් නොලැබේ.
One shall associate only with the good. With the good, one shall foster intimacy. Having learnt the true Dhamma of the good, wisdom is gained. But not from another.
Okay. And then another deity telling like this. Athako aparadevata bhagavato santike imam gatham abhasi. Sabbireva samaseta sabbi kubbeta santhavam satam saddhamma manyaya soka majje na sochatiti.
ඉක්බිති අන් දෙවියෙක් භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ සමීපෙහි මේ ගාථාව කීය. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම එක්වන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම මිත්‍ර සංසත්වය කරන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන්ගේ සද්ධර්මය දැනීමෙන් ශෝක කාරණයන් මැද ශෝක නොකරේ.
One shall associate only with the good. With the good, one shall foster intimacy. Having learnt the true Dhamma of the good, one does not sorrow in the midst of sorrow.
Okay, then another deity telling like this. Athako aparadevata bhagavato santike imam gatham abhasi. Sabbireva samaseta sabbikubbeta santavam satam saddhamma manyaya jnati majje virochatiti. Jnati majje virochatiti.
Ikpiti andeviyek bhagavatun vahanse samipehi megathava kiya. Satpurushyan samagama ekvanneya. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම මිත්‍ර සංසත්වය කරන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන්ගේ සද්ධර්මය දැනීමෙන් නෑයන් මැද විසසින් බබලයි.
One shall associate only with the good. With the good, one shall foster intimacy. Having learnt the true Dhamma of the good, one shines amidst one's relations.
One shines with one's relations. And then another deity telling like this. අතකෝ අපරාදේවතා භගවතෝ සන්තිකේ ඉමං ගාථං අබාසි. සබ්බිරේව සමාසේත සබ්බි කුබ්බේත සන්තවං සතං සද්ධම්ම මඤ්ඤාය සත්තා ගච්ඡanti සුග්ගතින්ති.
ඉක්බිති අන් දෙවියෙක් භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ සමීපෙහි මේ ගාථාව කීය. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම එක්වන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම මිත්‍ර සංසත්වය කරන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන්ගේ සද්ධර්මය දැනීමෙන් සත්වයෝ සුගතියට යෙත්.
One shall associate only with the good. With the good, one shall foster intimacy. Having learnt the true Dhamma of the good, beings fare on to a good destination.
Then the last deity, another one, he is telling like this. Athako aparadevatas bhagavato santike imam gatham abhasi. සබ්බිරේව සමාසේත සබ්බි කුබ්බේත සන්තවං සතං සද්ධම්ම මඤ්ඤාය සත්තා තිට්ඨಂತಿ සාතතಂತಿ.
ඉක්බිති අන් දෙවියෙක් භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේ සමීපෙහි මේ ගාථාව කීය. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම එක්වන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම මිත්‍ර සංසත්වය කරන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන්ගේ සද්ධර්මය දැනීමෙන් සත්වයෝ බොහෝකල් සුවසේ සිටිත්.
One shall associate only with the good. With the good, one shall foster intimacy. Having learnt the true Dhamma of the good, beings abide comfortably.
Okay, then after Buddha hear everything, by these different coming from the audience. Now Buddha gives this verse. He utters this verse. Sabba sangvo subhasitam pariyayena apicca mama api sunatha sabbireva samaseta sabbi kubbeheta santavam satang saddhamma manyaya sabba dukkha pamuccati iti.
තොප සියල්ලන් විසින් කරුණු වශයෙන් මැනවින් කියන ලදී. වැලිඳු මගේ වචනේද අසව්. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම එක්වන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන් සමගම මිත්‍ර සංසත්වය කරන්නේය. සත්පුරුෂයන්ගේ සද්ධර්මය දැනීමෙන් සියලු දුකින් මිදෙයි. I missed two verses, I guess.
This belongs to the Buddha. Uttered by the Buddha.
No, before that, the Deva... Devata was asking, Ikbiti an deviyek bhagyotun vahanseta me kiya. Bhagyotun vahansa kavaraku visin manavin kiyana ladde da.
Right. Yeah, I also missed that.
Topa siyallan visin karunu vashen manavin kiyana ladi. Validu mage vachane da asav. Bhagyotun vahansa said like that.
Yeah.
Then after that, that
was coming. Yes, correct.
Then another devata said to the blessed one, "Which one, blessed one, has spoken well? You have all spoken well in a way, but listen to me too." And the Buddha added this verse, "One shall associate only with the good. With the good, one shall foster intimacy. Having learned the true Dhamma of the good, one is released from all suffering."
Okay, one is released from all suffering. So basically, this is a kind of a discussion where a few group of deities, celestial beings, come to the Buddha and they pay respect to him, and then first of all they want to pay their kind of show their kind of an understanding, and the whole theme is about the good association with the good people. And the first one is talking about seyo hotina papyo. So if one is properly associating the good people, the kalyana mittas, and they are having kind of an intimate relationship with them, very close relationship with them, then they are able to develop in their dhamma, the knowledge they are having. So now these people are also growing. So as a result of that, what happened? Seyo hoti na papyo. So that means he too will be growing. The person who is associating also starts growing. There is no way to any kind of a decline, any kind of a downfall. That's the first one. Second one is talking about the panya labbati nanyanyoti. So he is able to develop wisdom, and there is no other way. Now you know that during the Buddha's time, so there are no many ways to develop the wisdom. So you have to approach a particular person, a wise person, they have to associate him, and then you have to lend their ear, they have to talk with them and have association again and again. So that is the only way to acquire the knowledge, because there are no books, no internet, nothing was there. So only approaches, only possibilities that you have to go there, physically go there, have a kind of a good association. And while doing that, you ask various questions and they start answering you and give some examples and be an example also. Now with that, you are also gaining some knowledge. You are also developing yourself. And that's the only way. So this is telling like that. And then the other part is called Soka majhe na sochatiti. So if one is associating good people, these kalyana mittas, and trying to adhere to their way of practice, then soka majhe na sochatiti. So amidst many others who are sorrowful, lamenting, and with worries, so this person stay without worry, without any kind of a sorrow, without any kind of a lamentation. That's a kind of a stability that he is developing as a result of that good association. The next part he is talking about Nyati majhe virochatiti. So the person who is doing that thing, he become glorious, he become more illuminated among his group, his clan, his relatives. So because he is a wise person, he too is now becoming a wise person. So amidst many others, among many others, so this person is now developing kind of a glory, kind of a wisdom, and he become the bright person. He become the one with some bright ideas. So he penetrate the situation. He can give quick solutions. So likewise, the others start respecting him. Others start recognizing him. And so because he is also now developing with his wisdom. Then the last one telling, Satta gacchanti suggatanti. sugatinti. So not the last one, previous one. Satta gacchanti sugatinti. So the one who do such association, maintain such good relationship, and again develop that same path, correct path, and then as a result of that, after the death, he is able to be born in a good place. Maybe in a heavenly realm, maybe in the human realm, or in a Brahma realm. So basically, even the after the death, he will be safe, he will be into a good place. And the last deity, he is telling, Satta Tithanti Satatanti. So as a result of this good association, this particular person will live long life with a very comfortable way. So he's quite comfortable, he's staying for a long time. Without much hassle, he can continue his life. Now, after different deities, these celestial beings showed different views like this. Then Buddha say, and they approach the Buddha, and one of them asking, Bhante, which one is correct? I mean, now there are altogether how many are there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Altogether, 6 views are there, 6 comments are there, and they are asking which one is the best one, which one is the correct one. And then Buddha says, Sabba Sangho Subhasitam Pariyayana. So everyone's statements are quite correct. So let me give my answer also. Let me give my comment also. Now Buddha is giving the answer. Sabba Dukkha Pamunchatiti. The same scenario, same way. Say you go to a good person, you associate him, and you are starting developing your wisdom because of that association. Now, Sabba Dukkha Pamunchati. And you are able to overcome all the suffering as a result of that. Overcome all the suffering. So that is how Buddha concludes the whole thing. So basically talking about the good association, Kalyana Mittas. So that is one area that Buddha promotes, one area that Buddha highlights. So how one may develop one's path based on the Kalyana Mittas. Because Kalyana Mitta Sampatti is, you know, that the if we consider the whole sasana, so Buddha say it is the total of the sasana. So very popular statement that in one occasion, Venerable Ananda makes a kind of a comment all of a sudden while being with the Buddha. He make a kind of a reflective note. Bhante, I feel this sasana, this whole pabbajja, this whole celibate life, half of it is because of the association of good people. And then Buddha immediately correct him. Don't say like that. Don't say like that. It's not the half. It's the whole of the celibate life. The whole of this brahmacharya jivita. This whole, this renunciative life is because of the kalyana mittas. So it's so critical, so important. Because when we are step into the celibate life, when we are step into the monk's life, for example, we are new to it. So we are spending our lives as lay people and associating various different people and going ahead with different directions. Now, once you step into the sasana, once you become a monk, once you start a practitioner, so you have to have some role models, you have to have some examples, and there should be others who are also striving, also practicing, and maybe some of them already attained, some of them already have some understanding. So they are giving a fair amount of inspiration, because it's very difficult for us to practice the path, follow the path without such an inspiration, without such guidance, because we are new to the path, isn't it? So we are quite new. We may have a little bit of inspiration, but not yet convinced about it. We have only heard about it. Buddha is talking about many things. Things are impermanent, suffering, non-self, and so much of information is there. I have heard about it, but I haven't touched it. I haven't experienced it. So basically, at the beginning, what we know are very much like superficial. It is not yet fairly, deeply, profoundly understood. We are simply heard about it. And then only you yourself have a kind of a determination, okay, let me also jump to the water and practice it. And now it's also a kind of a striving, and you sometimes fall asleep, sometimes you feel lethargic, or sometimes you feel too much energetic. Sometimes you fall sick, and sometimes you feel confused because the things are not that clear to you, and the path is also very difficult. You are practicing, but no any tangible results. So many issues are there. So it may take a fair amount of time for you to establish in the Dhamma, isn't it? So till that, you need a fair amount of encouragement, fair amount of examples from the others, and time to time you need some clarifications about the matters. And all that are coming from the association. All that are coming from the good association, from the good people, others who are already gone some far than you. So therefore, the association with good people is something that Buddha highly valued. And he is the best person, by the way. He is the one who self-enlightened and has given a great example. And by keeping him as the teacher, spiritual teacher, kind of a valuable example, so others start following him, isn't it? So once he preached Dhamma, so others also gain some confidence, trust, and they also want to practice it by themselves. And ultimately, they themselves have to come to the same kind of an understanding. So Buddha preached something, and the others, the followers, also have to become enlightened. It is not that no more it's then superficial, but you being an example to what Buddha has preached, isn't it? So you being a living example. So he has taught about all that, different qualities, maybe sublime qualities, and some profound understanding, and you yourself have it now, isn't it? Then you have a kind of unwavering saddha, unwavering faith towards the Buddha. What he has taught so far is concrete, so true. So now I have understood it. So likewise, very beautiful, I mean. So Buddha's teaching have that ability to verify. So it is not every time that we are asked to blindly follow. Rather, you are giving a fair amount of a chance. Okay, just try yourself. I mean, you have to develop certain spiritual qualities. Once those qualities are available, developed, and you yourself is able to see it. You yourself is able to verify it, isn't it? So likewise, So the path become more and more accessible to you, available to you, and very much like you being an example to it. You are now being exemplified by the Dhamma. You become the Dhamma, very much like. Previously it is external to you, now you have internalized it, isn't it? So therefore at that time you have an unwavering kind of a saddha, unwavering kind of a faith. So that's why typically it is mentioned that the Sotapanna, the one who is the stream winner, so he is having such unwavering saddha. So because he is so confirmed, he is so confident, quite sure, because he himself has witnessed it, not superficially just touch, rather he himself has witnessed it. Now he is no way that he is going and look at another spiritual teacher, because what he has witnessed, what he has gained, profoundly understood, is very much true, and he is being with it, adhere to it, and now he know the path. Now he himself can continue the path. So likewise, actually the path is then become more and more clear. So and the other thing is that if he further gain the association from the wise people, his development will be more clear, very quick, because he continue to have the proper association. So likewise, it is very, very important to have proper association, correct association, and for us to step into the Dhamma, so have some thorough understanding, experiential knowledge, and once we have it, then we are so confident we can continue in it. So I'm just giving some points from my side, so I open the session to you.
Asrei Bhante, it's a beautiful flow, and it's amazing, and it's very energizing to have heard it and the way you explain. And actually I was wondering how much of a flow you have, so it's coming to me too, and it's the association. I mean, it's very living, it's like a live wire, and there's no exaggeration. And I was thinking, like, I mean, how much I would have lost if I didn't come to this session. No, seriously, it's a live wire. You touch it, you get it. And it's a transmission. And this is the I feel this is the true Dhamma, as you said, that you become a Dhamma itself, and it's beautiful and amazing, and I have a lot of energy in it. So,
yeah, because we need that. Because otherwise, I mean, time to time, we feel also bored, and sometimes we feel disappointed because we are also trying but didn't get enough tangible results. And sometimes we feel discouraged. And sometimes we have misunderstood certain thing and gone in a stray and wrong path and fall into wrong decisions or wrong views. That's also very possible. Wrong pits. So all these different kinds of issues are there, problems are there also in the path. So how are you going to verify that you are in the correct path? Isn't it? So you yourself have to put yourself to the others, and they also have to ask various questions, and we are discussing like this, and then probably you get the kind of confidence, okay, maybe I am going in the correct path. If not, you have to adjust yourself. If not, you have to understand, okay, they are talking a different way, I am talking completely different, something completely kind of an alienated thing, so probably I might have gone wrong, isn't it? So I misunderstood it. Better I adjust myself. Now, say for example, during the Buddha's time, certain bhikkhus have gone in the wrong path, like Venerable Sati, for example. He was thinking that the consciousness is eternal. Now, very, very high kind of a theoretical misconception. And now he is talking that to the others. Okay, you know that according to the teaching, so I understand, so the consciousness is eternal. The other monks intervene and they say, oh, no, don't say like that. Buddha didn't say like that. Buddha didn't say that the consciousness is eternal. So that means that even the people who are in the sasana sometimes go astray. They can take wrong directions. In such case, the others are becoming the kind of a mirror for them. Okay, son, okay, friend, it's not the correct path. This is not what Buddha has mentioned. You better correct yourself. And this person, actually, he didn't immediately want to correct himself. Rather, Buddha had to summon him and then preach him Dhamma. And later only he has corrected him. So likewise, many cases like this person is Venerable Yamaka. So Yamaka also has taken a wrong path. He also has some, you know, kind of a dogmatic understanding in a different wrong way. And Venerable Sariputta intervened and was able to correct him. So likewise, so we can't say that once we understood, once we realized a certain thing, certain fact, we got it perfect. We better put it to the others, other brahmacharis, other our renunciative friends, and we can see what they are committing, how they are talking. And probably we can put it to the teachers and how they are commenting. Say, for example, other thing is now, say, experiential knowledge, for example. Say, you are developing certain amount of samadhi and you reach maybe first jhana, for example. And probably you might misunderstood it thinking that I attained nibbana. Very high probability is there because it's so beautiful, so blissful. And you feel quite energetic, and you, every time you feel happy, and you are with a very beautiful smile. So you think, okay, I have attained Nibbana, because the first jhana experience is so powerful, and when a typical person who experienced that, so it is so kind of so how to say uplifting. And that moment, once you approach the teacher, and once you explain it to the teacher, what would be the result? So he might say, no, you stupid, you just go ahead. You just get lost. This is not Nibbana. I mean, he may simply criticize you. And on the other hand, how humble you have to be to accept the teacher's decision, to accept the teacher's advice. Otherwise, what happened to you? You might completely misunderstand the first jhana to be the stream winner or sakadagami, anagami, all that, you know, very profound attainments, you probably wrongly attribute to yourself. You go to a completely different wrong path. But the moment that the teacher vehemently criticizes you, you have to be really humble. You have to be really, you know, innocent for you to understand, yes, my teacher may be, you know, even though he's criticizing me, he may be doing it honestly. He may be doing it out of compassion to me. but with some rash, harsh words, definitely be, to cut me off, to cut my conceit. So that, at that moment, you have to be really humble. So the teachers' association, the wise person's association is so critical at that moment. Otherwise, the whole life, you will be in a wrong misconception. Isn't it? It's a really pathetic situation. So you also have practiced something, but you come to a wrong place and concluded that you have attained completely wrong misunderstanding. But the teacher, with some good experiential knowledge, may criticize you, may critique you, and show you, okay, this is not the path, okay, you have to further develop, okay, you have to come to the vipassana, something like that. And then you maybe have a chance to further progress. So likewise, time to time, association good people, coming to the teacher and being humble and pay respect and ask and explain about your understanding and get his critique will really help us. Because otherwise, we might take wrong path, wrong conclusions, wrong views, and end up with that. So many things, such many cases are there. They are even today. So many monks are there who take wrong, very high standards and think that they have achieved. And they even preach that. So not much referring to the books, not go to the real, say, sources. And sometimes they misinterpret the sources also. So this also, things are happening. So likewise, very, very complex nowadays, the teaching also has become, because many, many sources are there. Many people are talking many different views. So it's very difficult for a beginner to even understand what is the correct thing. And sometimes you are not allowed to question. And you have to simply obey. You have to simply believe. So chances are very rare for you to question. So that is also kind of restrict your understanding. But on the other hand, the Buddha's approach is quite open. So he give a chance, okay, you guys are allowed to question, you guys are allowed to discuss. If you have any doubts, you are allowed to ask questions. So very open, isn't it? So then you are being interrogated, you are being fairly questioned. And you yourself can contribute, and then we can have a good discussion. That way we can all can proceed in a proper path. So likewise, the good discussions with the wise people, the teachers, elders would be really helpful. And the other thing is now even about the sila, for example. Now I have given an example with the samadhi. Sila also. Now sometimes people think, okay, I have become a parajika. You know, in the parajika offenses are the most heinous kind of grave kind of offenses one can do in the monk's life. Sometimes they misunderstand. Without committing it, they think, okay, I have committed it. So they burn with it. Then they have to go to a teacher, to an elder, and they have to explain what has happened. Then the elder or the teacher might say, no, you haven't committed that. I mean, it's a kind of a wrong misunderstanding. You haven't done that. You are still pure monk. So just continue. So likewise, certain encouragement in the putting you in the correct track, correct path again and again by the elders, by the teachers is very, very, very important, very, very critical. Otherwise, I mean, we with those doubts, we start burning and ultimately we can't bear it. We disrobe and we just skip the path. We shift the path. So those kind of pitfalls are there. And so that's why. So there are a few terms highlighted here. Sabhireva samaseta. Sabhi kubheta santavam. Satang saddhamma manyaya. So three strong faces are there. Sabhireva samaseta. So that means satpurushayan samagama ekvanne. So you are associating the wise people. You are so critical about it. Who you are associating. In a way, you have to selectively associate. Because among the crowd, there are ones who are not in the correct path, maybe. They are talking something wrong, they are taking you to the wrong path, and they are not energetic about the practice, isn't it? There are such monks also, no? So they are not enthusiastic about their practice, and they are maybe ones who are more concerned about the other matters, worldly kind of gains, not on the attainment or not on the attaining Nibbana. So their motivation is on completely different thing. So if you associate them, then you will also go to the same track. So selectively you have to associate, okay, who is striving, who is going in the path, who is still trying to develop themselves without giving up. So you need to select, isn't it? So you have to be vigilant, you have to select. Now those people you have to associate. Satpurushan samaga vekkanne, satpurushan samaga mitra santhave kaanne. Now that association has to be also fairly close. You have to associate carefully, closely, and so that you get the confidence, trust from that person also. Then he also start teaching you. It's not kind of that you are able to forcefully get something. Sometimes you have to be also a humble, honest person. Then only you will be getting it. It will be established in you. And then satpurushan sadharme danimen. So then only you will be able to thoroughly know it. You will be able to experience it. And you are also taught how to practice it, how to develop it, train it yourself. And now you attain it, now you come to it, experience it. And the teacher may confirm it, yes, almost there. You may be there, you better further practice. So these criteria are there for you to further test yourself. So likewise, he may give some directions. Then you may become more and more confident. So likewise, it's very, very live, as you said. It's a very, very live incident that we are talking. It's a really live sasana we are talking. Yeah.
Asahi Swaminwanse, this sutta today reminds me of when I started meditating. When I attended my first retreat and I met all these wonderful people. But at the same time, I still had to go back to work, go to school and interact with, you know, the regular folk. And I remember many times feeling that it was painful to associate with such people. Every time I'm with the regular folk, I'm always thinking about these people I met at the retreat, because the conversations I have with them, they are conversations about being satisfied with little, conversations about renouncing ill will, passions, desire, all those kinds of things. And it was completely opposite to these other people at work, at school, and other social places, and even family members. It was quite painful to associate with them. And so after a long time, that is when I decided, what if I just go to a community where it's just people who are doing this thing all the time, all day, every day.
Exactly.
It was very uplifting for me to know that I have this opportunity in this very life to associate with such people. That's what I wanted to add.
Yeah, actually we need to appreciate that opportunity. Because sometimes once we step into the path and being in it, sometimes we also feel, okay, now we are there, I mean, nothing much to do. You know, you lose your energy sometimes, isn't it? So time to time, again, giving a push, giving a kind of an encouragement, giving kind of inspiration is very essential. Because that's why sometimes now Buddha encourage, okay, it is not because of other worldly gain that you people have to associate me. So Buddha, again and again, he emphasized, okay, you are associating me because you are able to listen from me about, as you said, appiccha katha, santutti katha, viriyarambha katha, having things, you know, being with less wishes and being contented with what you have and developing further practice, you know, have the energy and developing further sila, the morality, developing further wisdom, developing further concentration and going for the understanding. So Buddha is again and again emphasizing it. It is not just one time he delivered the Dhamma. Every day he is delivering such discourses. So once you have the opportunity to associate him, you never lose the energy. You are able to continuously, you know, exert the energy. It is not just one day or 1 week that you are, you know, effortfully practice and then ultimately give it up. Rather, you have to have a long-term practice, isn't it? Say 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, who knows? So you have to have such a continuous long-term practice. So you can't guarantee that within 1 week or 1 month, you will become an enlightened. It's impossible, no? So we have to be more realistic, isn't it? So your practice has to be a very long-term, continuous practice. Never giving up, isn't it? Never giving up And till you take, as you said, say, once you take the flag, you go to the end. Without you reach that, you never give it up. For have such kind of a determination, you need time to time some encouragement. Because there are opportunities, there are possibilities that you go astray, you go wrong path, and you also feel sick and you feel uncomfortable. And on such occasions, such a teacher, a good person, should always help you, encourage you, give you a hand and take you up. And you, okay, son, you just go ahead and only a little bit more to go, something like that, isn't it? So such encouragement is so critical. Because this path, you know, the problem is in the lay life, we have certain encouragement through some egoistic achievements. Say you become a doctor and you get a lot of money and then you marry and then your wife is there. Maybe you have another car, now you have another worldly, say, a designation, you are being promoted and then other people come and offer you something. And further, you are encouraged to worldly gains. So in the monk's life, so you are not supposed to look at beautiful things, isn't it? I mean, you are not supposed to satisfy the senses. That is not the encouragement. So you are in a completely different path. So how are you being motivated, isn't it? How are you being encouraged in that path? So that is being kind of an example. Okay, I mean, you have taken an entirely different path. But still, there are people who are also aligned in that path, isn't it? They are not interested of worldly gains. They are not interested of worldly fame. But they are interested of kind of a very high-level spiritual attainment, understanding. So that understanding becomes your goal. And you have to see whether do I have that understanding yet in myself, isn't it? So I am time to time, I feel worried. Every time I feel unsatisfied. So that means I am not yet into that best type of understanding. Time to time I feel conceited. So that means I still have some defilements. I have to be very honest, isn't it? Very humble to understand my own flaws. Understand my own kind of drawbacks. And then you are again coming back to the practice. Okay, still some are there to purify myself. Still some defilements are there. So the practice has to be further developed. So that all the defilements are slowly abandoned. So likewise, the encouragement that your own verification, your own humble introspection, so those are very, very critical. Otherwise, we might feel satisfied in a very, you know, trivial gains. Very petty gains may be there on the path and you may be satisfied there. Not going to the last goal, isn't it? So these things are also there, no? Say, for example, you become a monk. And on the way, you get some gain, you get some fame, and now the other people come and pay respect, and Bhante, you are like this, you are like this, you are like this, and you feel uplifted, and with that, you stop yourself, isn't it? You being the abbot, or you being the temple head of the monk, and you have so many responsibilities, and you have no time to attend to your own development, and you simply stuck there. It can happen, isn't it? Yeah, please.
So there are two opportunities to live in the material world or in the spiritual world. And you already told there are monks who had a good spiritual practice and then they start to gain responsibilities for the temple, to get ahead of the temple, and they start to
deviate.
Change directly to the other extreme.
Mm.
And how is it possible to find the balance between the material and the spiritual way for a long term?
Exactly. Very, very challenging question. Very, very difficult also. Very difficult. Now say for example, that's why while we are engaged with some such kind of responsibilities, and we should not get lost in that altogether, isn't it? Time to time, at least we need to reflect in ourselves. So am I in the correct path? Am I in the, you know, do I have some time for myself? Am I an arahant yet? Or am I simply a worldly person yet? I may have a lot of things, but I have nothing yet. Say there are certain monks, for example, they gain a lot of knowledge. You know, they read books and they publish papers and they get a lot of knowledge. And they become professors and, you know, all that are there. But no tangible results, no experiential knowledge. And even during the Buddha's time, it has happened. You know, that Potila. So one venerable called Potila. And he is actually teaching every day to the others. and he's so knowledgeable, but not an attained person, not an experience in the sense that he haven't practiced and touched the Dhamma. Rather, he went through the hearing and he remember everything, and then he is teaching. And when he approached the Buddha to pay respect to him, the Buddha wants to point it out. So Buddha simply say, "You are an empty potila. You are an empty potila." So you understand the path, you see. So how clever Buddha is. So rather than praising the teacher, he himself is a teacher. Now, Potila is a teacher. Buddha didn't encourage him, no. Buddha knew that he's a talented person. He's also teaching. He's having also many students. But Buddha wants to give him a hint, kind of a advice. Oh, he simply advised him, okay, you are an empty Potila. So then the fellow feel frightened and he feel ashamed. So amidst all my students, and why he is talking like this to me? I am like empty potila. Then he reflected, and then he changed the path. Then he gave up all that, and he went to the practice, and then he was able to experience it. So therefore, we have to be very honest. We have to be more realistic, down to earth, to understand where we are, rather than being completely carried away by the worldly floods. Yeah, you have something more? Right.
So we can try to run away from our life by becoming a monk. Like, okay, I don't want to live in the outer world anymore. Mm-hmm. I want to run away and I want to search in myself. And that's a good thing. You can take yourself out of the world for some time. Mm-hmm. But then if you feel ready, you can go back and you can bring some wisdom into the world. What is really necessary right now, if you see what is happening, there is so many bad things going on. I would like to become a monk, but I don't would like to become a monk for my rest of my life. I would like to meditate for 2 or 3 years. That sounds very, really, really, really good for me.
After that, return back.
And then I wanna, would
return
like
back.
To...
Yeah, that's also something. Now, that's the thing. Now, after returning back, what are you going to do? After returning back, what are you going to do? Start a business?
For me, I'm a therapist. So my
therapist?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So I will start a business, yes. As a therapist.
So you want to incorporate the Buddhist teaching and the spiritual practice to your therapy, to your profession, and you be a more good, better therapist.
I hope so, yes.
Yeah. Some people take that approach, I understand. So either you become a monk or not, you can spend a fair amount of time in the Buddhist practice, and they understand it, they learn it, and they really practice it, and they gain something from the teaching, and then they go back and they start practicing, you know, I mean, to the other public, and they use these insights during the practice. So many, many such therapists are there in the world now. Now they are talking fairly of the very deep concepts of the Buddhism.
I was self going to therapy for like 7 years, sometimes more intense, sometimes less intense, and it really helped me to overcome some limitations from my childhood. And I think this is a really good way, because people I met, for example, I also worked as a voluntary in the space of environmental protesting, environmental activation. And then I had a burnout. I was like, okay, well, I don't have any energy anymore. It's so hard to say always, guys, we really have to take care of our nature. We really have to take care of our consumption. Because there is so much negative if you try to change someone else. Mm-hmm. If you try to, hey, maybe you don't should eat too much meat because it is bad for the environment. Maybe you don't should do this or do that. Skiing, for example, in Austria. I live in Austria. And skiing, they use the water down from the...
streams?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And blow them all up for snow, because there is no snow anymore.
Ah, I see.
Only little snow every year. Every year it's getting less, but people still want to continue with their luxury. They're used to it. They don't like, okay, maybe I should change my behavior. They're like, I want to do, so I go for it. doesn't matter what anyone else is thinking about, doesn't matter if it is bad for environment. So I had a burnout, and then I went back to one guy, and he gave me psychotherapy for free, so I don't have to pay for him. He was like, I don't want to be part of the system anymore. I don't want to be part of this
consumerization kind of, right?
Yes, and this is the reason he starts to do his practice for free, because he has gained money and he doesn't need money anymore. He's retired and he's doing it for
free.
Yes, and that's good inspiration. How you say it, you need the people who inspire yourself.
Exactly.
That was really touching me.
Exactly. So that's why the Dhamma is, you know, it's priceless. You can't value it. So you can't sell it. So that's why the Buddha never encourage any kind of, you know, preaching Dhamma for gains and fame and for money and all that. So he basically criticized that. So Buddha as a teacher is the only one who, you know, preached Dhamma freely with a very compassionate mind. He didn't have any kind of ulterior motive when he's preaching. So that's why he's asking the followers to understand that point. Because there are other spiritual teachers, they may be asking the, you know, the followers to put them in the pedestal and, you know, give this and that and all that. The worldly kind of ulterior motives are there. But Buddha, on the other hand, either other followers or not, he doesn't have any kind of a gain. So he already has achieved it. So therefore, so the Buddha's teaching, so if we are trying to sell, then we are like very mean and very kind of really low kind of a mentality. But on the other hand, while we are also practicing, if we are simply giving it free, wholeheartedly, then we being a kind of an example for that. And as you said, the world is also, every time is like this, you know, that some are selling it, some are following it, truly doing it. So that's the way it is. And as you said, the world is moving towards a consumerization, and majority is being carried away by the worldly kind of a wind, worldly kind of a path, and only a few would see the difference. Only a very few see that I want to be free from this, you know, carried away. I need to escape from it. So what you are trying to tell is very true. So now, I mean, rather than thinking kind of a plan, okay, I'm going to become a monk for 2 years and then I'm going to renunciate. So just start practicing. The practice is the most important thing. Either you become a monk or layperson, doesn't matter. Practice is the most important thing. And you are doing it honestly and continuously. So that is very important. So while you are continuing like that, so maybe sometimes you get a chance, okay, I like to be a monk. You may get an inner call from you. Maybe at a time, rather than immediately jump into it. So you spend some time in a monastery and practicing yourself, and you see whether you are able to adhere to it. So there are certain rules and regulations and certain customs are there. And are you able to bear with it? Are you able to adjust to it and maintain it? And are you able to be with the others? So likewise, so once you are there for a while, you get a kind of a taste. Am I able to handle it? Am I able to bear the whole thing? So these difficulties are there. These, it's not a kind of a heavenly life, no. I mean, also there are a lot of very, you know, hardships are there. So are you able to bear all that? Then if you think, yes, I can handle it, why not? Then you step into it, you jump to it and go for it. Then slowly, slowly, you get the confidence. And even the term therapy has come from the Theravada. Probably you have heard about it. The therapy, the term, the thera. So all that are coming from that Eastern therapeutic thera, coming from the Buddhist roots. Theravada roots are there. So typically the old physicians are there only talking about the bodily ailments. So the monks were the one talking about the mental ailments, so the disorders kind of thing. Then they are talking, they are preaching, and they are trying to heal the mental issues. And then the therapist has become therapy, and then the therapeutic. So these kind of things are there. So the ones who are talking about the language, linguistic, you know, roots, they are talking, okay, this term therapy seems to have come from Theravada. So anyway, What I want to highlight is what you are thinking is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But anyway, in Sri Lanka, we are not encouraging temporary monkhood. So here it's a kind of a, we expect the one who is coming to a committed lifetime and to do it properly. And but still instances are there that after some time they leave, that we have no kind of a bondage, any kind of a restriction as such. But the general encouragement is for you to take it as a lifetime endeavor. Yeah.
Asarai Swamin Mahansa.
Yes.
Yes. Swamin Mahansa, before I go to Keshan, I just want to add like how fortunate we are too to have these sessions online. Before Corona, it was like only for the Nisarnavaniya monks. Like, so this changed our lives too, Bhante. Like, it's like compulsory that you have to listen early morning. For us, it's early morning, 6 or 5:30 in the morning. So how fortunate that I agree with all the talks that given by you and the other monks, Bhante. We are truly fortunate.
Good, good.
To associate.
Nice yeah. To hear
and
that.
If somebody wants Bhante, like except Monday, all the days we have so many sessions.
Right.
If it really wants, like if you really want to associate with y'all by online.
Correct, correct. Now, actually, yeah, that's true. As Bhante Dhammaji often mentioned, because before Corona, we didn't have these opportunities. We were only the discussions were recorded, the summer sermons were recorded, and next, after some time only, they were published. Nowadays, everything is available live, either in YouTube, not in the YouTube, by the way, it's in the MixLR or in this Zoom. So, any person who wants to connect with us live, they are welcome and they can connect with us, they can participate. And every day, as Niranja mentioned, except Mondays, almost every day we have something online. And sometimes even in the morning and in the afternoon also we have something, because when the retreats are there in the lower monastery, those are also streamed live and those are also available. Yeah, so...
Yes, Geshan is there, Bhante.
Okay.
I will ask him to.
Yeah, yeah. One moment. We have... Okay. Please go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. Thank you, Niranja, for giving me the opportunity. So there are a few points that I wanted to bring to your attention. Today's Dhamma discussion, I think it is profound. The things what I have realized as well, you talk about the Kalyanamitra and then you talk about the associations and the practice as well as, you know, how Buddha sort of talking to the monks, encouraging the monks to do the right things. So one of the things what I have realized, as what Niranja also mentioned, I am so grateful for you, Bhante, as well as Venerable Dhammajiva. The reason why I say this, I have been born to a Buddhist family not knowing what is the philosophy itself in the beginning of years. We just go to a temple, just offer some flowers to a statue, we chant some sutras, not knowing the meaning of it, and etc. For a long period of time, that was my childhood and oh, there was a time that I was kind of realizing, you know, what is the meaning of this Buddhism? We talk about this debate coming to US and being here. There are conversations that I have had with my work colleagues. They are, of course, ask from me, what is the meaning? There was a time that I didn't know how to answer these questions. I believe that I am in a position now, of course, listening to this conversations, just listening to this. And I myself listen on Monday, Tuesday, sometimes I conduct this. Wednesdays, like today is a Wednesday for me, I listen to this. And then Thursday there is another one for Canadians, citizens, or the Sri Lankan community, as well as the, you know, conducting there. And on Friday there is one, and as well as a Saturday for the Australians. All that has been come through Zoom around this time. For me, it is the night. I say this, I believe that I am so fortunate to be able to connect through this platform to listen and to get the cream of the essence of Dhamma. Now, talking about Dhamma itself, as I said, though I was born into a Buddhist family, didn't know what it is, but now I realize the meaning of 5 precepts, the meaning of 8 precepts, and the associations as well. And of course, through these discussions, I think I have sort of gained that. And so I can encourage certain individuals as well, the individuals who really want to sort of participate, who wants to learn and things like that. So I thought of bringing that opportunity as well, or bringing to this, sharing that comments for this community. The second thing that I wanted to bring up, now, day to day, when you do certain things, you always wonder whether, have I done the right thing? You know, when you go to a market, you sort of, you negotiate and you try to sort of buy, etc. But you try to be fair for both parties, for them as well as for you. And but prior to one look into one the others, so I think I have changed in that context as well, trying to be fair for everybody. And and also I have try to be able to serve from the same spoon, per se. And those are some of the points I want to bring up, because I thought it is timely. Thank you, Bhante. Thanks for your wisdom. Thanks for your generosity and what you do.
Yeah. Thiran Sanai, thanks for the comment. And as you said, so as we continue the path, so we become more fair, and as you said, in a beautiful way, we start serving with the same spoon. So that kind of a thing. Those things are quite common where you are stepping into the correct path. So it's not a kind of a selfish achievement anymore. You start having some understanding about the others, their possibilities, their opportunities, their position. And you look at from a more fair point of view and take the opportunity. Yeah, thanks. You have something to tell? Yeah.
Bhante, there are 3 things I wanted to highlight. Very shortly, I'll try to tell. Like, since this last gentleman spoke, I have a similar story. So I prefer not to talk about it. But this is regarding Bhante and this gentleman and myself as well. Number one, I won't tell you, I was out of this country and I had the same issue as him. So I had lots of doubts. I didn't become a monk to be a monk. I became a monk to see this is Attada Buruda, whether this is a fake or is it real. Because there are many fake things that I have seen in my life. Like I did marketing. I did management, I did hoteliering. There's so much of fakeness in there. It's imbued, it's emblemed in it, like nice chocolates. So I thought this could be the same. I never thought Buddha was fake, but I knew Buddha could have been great. And then I became a monk. I had a lot of bad flaws. Even Bhante was very cross with me. And I'm very happy, not that I'm very happy of those, because now I see those were not right. And no, I'm not even now I'm not perfect. And I'm trying my best, and I'm very happy. But I would tell anybody that I'm sorry But if I hurt them, I have hurt myself. But I say sorry to myself, I say sorry to others. So that's my story. Secondly, so I invite this gentleman also to see, like, whatever the time doesn't matter, you come and see. Attanang, you wait. If it is atta, if it is real, you wait. If it is not, you go. Or if it is even right for you, you can experience it for some time. And then you can get lost and come back. This is my view, personal view, Bante. Correct. Please excuse me.
Yeah.
In Bante's case, I wanted to tell this because we are all learners here. Actually, I'm not telling Bante, I'm telling myself this, and because I was thinking whether I should be telling this or not, because this could be misinterpreted. But, I mean, your flow and your explanations are gone so great, and I was surprised, how can you tell this much of words, because I would never be able to imagine those words. So it's a beautiful flow, beautiful expression, and beautiful way of explaining, and you yourself has grown up in the sense developed. Sorry for my English is very bad. So like grown up, very fluent, not in the language, I mean the flow, it's beautiful and it's amazing. And this is where I have so much of respect for Lokahamduru or Mahathero, because he says this, everything is growing, don't worry. And the other thing, this lady, Niranja, she was talking about COVID and Lokahamduru that time too, because we were all caged in here. Lokahamduru said, don't worry, this is positive. And now I see the water COVID. I don't know whether everything is, I have a very little knowledge and I'm a very little man, though I'm tall. And like I have a very little brain as well. So for me, like as Lady Niranja says, this is beautiful. Like because of the COVID, we got all this ID. And actually, when I was in Katana, I just enjoy it, and every day I just listen, and it's great, and it gives me the flow to the whole day. And I just wanted to, this is being very honest, I just wanted to thank you, Bante, for your development and you sharing the development, and I had a lot of energy today. And I would invite, I'm sorry, maybe it's not your thinking, but I invite this gentleman also, you don't have to tell the time frame. Come and join us. And when you want to go, don't tell anybody, just go.
you take what you need. Because now that's the thing. Because even during the Buddha's time, there are people, they want to steal Dhamma. They are going in a wrong path anyway. There's the one person called Susima, right? Susima Sutta, I think. So he came to steal the Dhamma, because the monks are there during that time, they were well respected, and they are now growing, and the people are giving a lot of material stuff to them. The other ascetics, they feel kind of decline. So they wanted to come to the Buddha Sasana. One of them want to become a monk so that they also learn and later disrobe and then tell to the other people, and they also start gaining. That was their plan. And after that, so he became a monk, and he also start practicing, and he also become a monk. Sorry, become an arahant. And he came front of the Buddha, and he very much like, Bante, I came like this, so what a kind of fool I was. It's like that he's telling to the Buddha. And Buddha says, yes, I know from the beginning. I know from the beginning why you are coming, but Dhamma is there. I mean, it will start molding you, like, isn't it? I mean, it's not that you are superficially touching it. Rather, you start developing it, no? It will start planting in your heart, isn't it? The seed starts planting in yourself. And then you become the Dhamma, and you start propagating it, you start teaching it, you start being an example to it. It's not yours anymore, isn't it? It's not yours. Others will start touching it. So it's so beautiful. I mean, it's not that we individually, we have different names and we are trying to practice, but we have given names. These are simply conventional names. But when the Dhamma is operating, we are no one. Dhamma is just the Dhamma thas are operating. So unfortunately, ignorantly, we think, okay, I am so and so, you are so and so, you are so and so. That's because of our ignorance. isn't it? So ultimately, when we are flourishing, it doesn't belong to anyone. So, I mean, till we are there, till the ego is there, we can't flourish even. Once we are take out our egos, take out ourselves, then the Dhamma will flourish. So natural, so beautiful, so aesthetic. So therefore, as he invited, I also invite you. Why don't you jump to the water and see? Okay, actually we have come to the end of the...
Yeah,
please go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, so once checked, there's an appreciation note I would like to mention, Bhante.
Yeah.
I just want to pay my respect to the Bhante and the organizers for their timely work. I was able to get into this spiritual lifestyle because of these live programs and meditation programs that I participated physically. From last January, I participated in these Zoom programs. Now my motto is choiceless awareness, and my benchmark is Satra Satipatthana. Now I am enjoying the freedom of being myself, slowly, mindfully, silently. Metta. That's it, Bhante.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu. Good, good. It's below someone else, it seems, yeah. Okay, if there are no more comments, so I think we have spent almost 1.5 hours. And now I'd like to conclude the session. Then cordially invite Venerable Dhammo Sadha to do the sharing of merits.
Asai Swami Nuanse, meritorious opportunity we have had today to listen to the Dhamma. This Dhamma that exhorts us to associate with the good, the wise, the noble, for that practice that leads to dispassion, to cessation, to the stealing of all sankharas, and to nibbana. Meritorious deed it is to teach and for us to listen, and therefore we would like to extend these merits to our teachers, our parents, and all devas. May our relatives rejoice in these merits. May the devas rejoice in these merits. And may all celestial beings protect this Dhamma and the Buddha's dispensation for a long time. And may the seeds of Dhamma that we have received today grow, producing Magga, the paths, and Pala, the fruitions, and all the way to Nibbana. Now let us recite the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits.